This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Normally today, on Mondays, I do a talk with Stream Islam. And, you know, I've been going through this very interesting topic of knowing yourself. However, it seems that Facebook is down. And because of that, we decided to delay it. So I wanted to talk about some other things that have been preoccupying my thoughts recently. And a lot of it is to do with what is going on. What is going on with this pandemic? Is it really all that it seems to be? Not just that. How about global warming? Is it all that it seems to be? So many things that are happening. You know, we've had some pretty bad experiences in the past. The Iraq War, for example, all started on basically a falsehood. Even the war in Afghanistan. The reality is that, and it's well known, that the Taliban, the original Taliban, under Mullah Omar, were always ready to hand over Osama bin Laden, just not on American terms. They were ready to hand Osama bin Laden over to an Islamic court in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan. That wasn't good enough for America because basically there was another agenda. And it's just not me saying this. There's many other people saying this. It's not even radical anymore. And it seems to me that we live in a world that many things that are happening on the surface are not really the true reality of what's taking place. It's almost as if we are being fed an illusion. And behind that illusion, there is some other agenda going on. Now, I know this sounds like conspiracy theories. And yeah, I suppose it is. That's exactly what it is. But there's lots of good reason to believe that there are conspiracies taking place. And I've named a few of them already. That we are told one thing, whereas something else is going on. And this is not new. It's not new in history. It's not new in the history of the world. It's not new in the history of the modern world. It's just something that has happened again and again and again, that there are people who control information, who control resources, who control wealth, who have within their hands ostensibly the most amount of power, and they are the ones who want to project a particular image, a particular idea, a particular viewpoint, a particular paradigm of what's going on in the world. Now, look, I think I want to talk about global warming, because global warming, man-made global warming, because that's something I believe is happening. I do believe that the burning of fossil fuels, and not just fossil fuels, but many other things. Fossil fuels, the increase in methane, the CFCs that have been destroying the ozone layer, all these type of things. I think they're real. I believe they're real. I don't think that it's just, you know, something that's fake. And the reason I mentioned this previously before, but, you know, the reason I think that it is real is because, you know, I'm old enough to remember when these topics were being talked about by a very small group of people who are very vocal about it and warning everyone about it. And there was no agenda there. There was no agenda. There was no money to be made. One of the things that you can always do is follow the money, right? Follow the money. If you want to see what's really going on, follow the money. They give you a clue as to what's really happening. Whether it's with the pandemic, follow the money, right? And it'll start to give you a clue of what's really going on. Yeah, global warming, follow the money. Now, the interesting thing is with global warming, follow the money. Well, you know, generally, if you follow the money, most of the money is being spent by climate change deniers, which are the major oil companies. They've spent masses and masses and masses of money in disinformation. And that's not to say, however, that the whole issue of man-made climate change has not been used by governments in order to tax us. It's been used by corporations to make more money for themselves. It's called greenwashing, where they pretend to be environmentally friendly. They pretend to have environmental credentials, and they just use it as an actual way for you to be more fooled by what they are doing. It's basically virtue signaling from them. You know, they want to give this impression that they're so virtuous and they care about the planet so much and they care about us so much, which they don't. Corporations care about one thing, and that is making more money, and they have to. They don't really have a choice, except where legislation is not only so effective, but the punishment for breaking those laws are so severe that they are going to have to conform. But by and large, that's not the case in many places. Even where there is legislation to restrict the activities of corporations that are detrimental to the well-being of human beings and the planet, the punishments and the consequences for breaking those rules are not severe enough to stop them, because at the end of the day, for example, if I have a bunch of chemicals that I want to get rid of, and if I dump them into the river and I get fined $10,000, and it's going to cost me $100,000 to dispose of them in a clean way, it's cheaper for me to dump it in the river. And that's what a corporation will do. They will just take the cheapest route, because they are actually legally bound by a law that was passed in the United States of America. This is particularly in the USA, where Henry Ford, who was the founder of the Ford Motor Company, had made his company a public company. He had shareholders, but he wasn't interested in maximizing profits. He was interested in just making a decent profit. His shareholders took him to court, and basically the court found the case in favor of the shareholders, saying that no, his duty was to maximize profits for the shareholders, because they were equal shareholders in the company, which from a perspective has a certain logic to it. But like many of these things that human beings do, it shows the problem of human beings unfettered by the channels of divine legislation. So then essentially, basically, from this judgment from that time, corporations have, you know, they've been legally duty bound to maximize the making of profits. So that's what they'll do. They'll only be environmentally friendly and green, you know, and have green credentials insofar as they feel that that can improve their bottom line or improve their profits. Now, one of the things that has happened, and by the way, this is something that's happened purposefully. Greenpeace, for example, as far as I know, but certainly there has been within the genuine environmental movement, there was an idea that the only way to really bring about effective change was to get corporations on board and to get them acting responsibly towards the environment. And so what they began to do is they began to sell this idea of environmental responsibility as an avenue for revenue, as a way of making money. That, and so this is something we hear quite a lot. We hear it quite a lot is, you know, the new economy, the green economy, that, you know, we're going to rebuild America, rebuild Britain with the green economy. And so they look at it all through the viewpoint of how can we make more money? How can we, how can we use this to create another industrial revolution or another, because that's what they're looking at, essentially. And it's a really fundamental mistake, because the problem with the planet, the problem that we have, is the whole structure of a society that is based on the idea of materialism and consumerism. That itself is the problem. And you're not going to solve the problem by encouraging more of the very thing that has created the problem in the first place. It's almost like, what it's a bit like is you have someone who's a drug addict, and instead of trying to find, and instead of getting to the bottom of that person and understanding, well, why are you a drug addict? Why do you take drugs? What is it that you're trying to get from taking drugs that you couldn't get from something else that doesn't have that harm on you? Instead of doing that, you try to get them on other drugs that are just, I guess, a little bit less harmful. It's just not the way to go. Ultimately, it's going to cause more problems. And I think the real problem, because I've been listening to some people who, you know, that there are people who say, global warming, man-made climate change is a hoax, right? And then often what they do is they present things that are genuinely true. And they present these things as an example to show, oh, this is why, you know, climate change is a hoax. Or they may take something that's, you know, only partly true, you know. So, for example, they may talk about electric vehicles. Oh, well, you know, electric vehicles. Well, where do electric vehicles get their energy from? Where do you get the energy in order to charge the electric vehicle? Oh, well, it comes from a coal-powered power station. That's what generates the electricity. So at the end of the day, your car is still being filled up by burning fossil fuels. Well, that's not necessarily true. For example, I have an electric car, and probably 90% of the charge that comes from the electric car comes from the solar panels on my roof. Yeah. So, and the stuff that doesn't comes from a energy company that all its electricity, it comes from sustainable sources. However, that's just me, right? The argument is not totally invalid. However, it's not true. It's still more detrimental to the environment to burn petrol than it is to get electricity from a coal-powered station. And yes, there are environmental issues with the batteries. There's no doubt about that. The mining of cobalt, the treatment of workers in Africa, many precious metals and human rights abuses that, you know, and all sorts of terrible things happening. It's not any more or less, though, with oil. It's a problem whether it's oil or whether it's, you know, batteries. This is a problem that is across the board. So, I mean, look at the war that I was talking about before, the Iraq, you know, war in Iraq. It was all about oil, right? How many hundreds of thousands of human beings died and are still dying? So the point being, the reality is that the problem is not about oil or how we get our energy. The problem is about how much we consume. It's about how greedy we are, how we are just engines of consumerism. That's the problem, right? And the big challenge is that we have to learn to live differently. That is the really, really big challenge. We do. We have to learn to live differently. And it's interesting that in some ways it seems that the pandemic is teaching us that. We, you know, a lot of people have not been able to fly. They haven't been able to go on holiday. Lots of people are just used to hopping on an aeroplane and flying somewhere for a weekend. And from a personal, from the level of personal responsibility, from the level of what you personally are going to do in terms of taking your own personal responsibility. And although I would argue that it's the problem of man-made climate change is not really so much about individual human beings and their behaviors, right? Just if you look at the armed forces across the world, the amount of pollution that is spewed out by tanks and airplanes and producing all these weapons of war, the amount of pollution that is spewed out by industry, the amount of destruction of the environment that is caused by fishing, by these massive trawlers that are literally devastating our oceans. If you haven't seen the documentary Seaspiracy, I definitely recommend that you take a look at that to get an idea of how perilous the situation is right now. The terrible, terrible things that we are doing to our planet and the horrific consequences it's going to have. I mean, this is what I really believe is what we are on. We are literally on the cusp. We are literally on the edge of something really horrifically catastrophic. And, you know, the pandemic has taught us, or it is potentially has the potential to teach us that we can live differently. We don't have to live this, you know, mass consumer lifestyle. Now, there may be a question that, is this just a coincidence? Because obviously there are some people who are not going to change the way they live their life. And that is the elite. The rich are getting richer. They're not going to fundamentally change the way they live. And they would be happy to restrict more and more ordinary people's freedoms and more ordinary people's lives. Of course, so that they can continue to go on living the way that they want. And the Pandora Papers that have literally has just happened now gives us another glimpse into, you know, the life of people who live like that. Now, to be honest, I might be a bit hypocritical here, right? From the point of view that previously I know that within my family, there are people who have done exactly that. They have invested in, they've had shell companies put money offshore, all in order to avoid tax. And to be honest, I would argue that some of this tax is really oppressive and it's wrong. But it all comes down to a problem. The whole way we are governed, the whole system of government, the whole system of taxation is fundamentally problematic. It really is. And it all simply comes back to that we are living in a very unsustainable way. We are living in a way that the planet can't take it. We don't have enough resources on the planet. That's the reality. And there are some very valid points. You can build lots of wind turbines, you can churn out lots of solar panels, you can come up with many different solutions that you can think of for build nuclear power stations. All of these may seem in some degree or some other degree more or less possible solutions to the issue of fossil fuels and the fact that we just can't continue to keep burning fossil fuels. But the reality is that in order to produce all of these sources of energy, we need fossil fuels. So this is the irony. In order to produce wind turbines, we need fossil fuels. In order to produce solar panels, we need fossil fuels. In order to build nuclear power stations, we need fossil fuels, right? We need those fuels, right? And it just seems that there's not enough. There's not enough, you know, there's not enough fossil fuels for us to be able to create the same levels of energy that we need, unless we come up with some totally different way of producing energy, that we can't replace it. And that's the reality. The whole world runs on cheap oil, because oil is cheap. That's basically what it comes from. And the whole global economy, the whole global economy is running, this whole world the way it is right now, is running the way it is because of cheap fossil fuels. And there's nothing that can really replace that. The fact is, the only thing is that we have to learn to live differently. But how are human beings going to do that? To cut the whole conversation short, obviously I could take this step by step, bit by bit, and reach some conclusion, but I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. The only way to do it is by returning to our true spiritual roots. The reality is, we have not been created by Allah, by God, to be consumers. We have not been created by Allah or by God as just materialistic beings. And we will never, ever find happiness. However much you eat, however much you drink, however many houses, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you give the son of Adam, right, a mountain of gold, he'll be looking for it. If you give him a valley of gold, he'll want another valley of gold. If you give him a mountain of gold, nothing will satisfy the belly of the son of Adam except the dust of his grave. This is the problem. It doesn't matter how much you have, you will never be satiated. That meaning that if you make that your end goal, because we were not created for this earth. Our natural abode is paradise. And in paradise, you never feel thirsty, you never feel hungry, you don't feel fear, you don't feel jealousy and envy and so on. You don't feel any of those things, right? You feel peace and happiness and tranquility. And that comes from being spiritually fulfilled. The closest that we can get to that state in this life is by developing and forming that close connection with Allah. By seeking happiness, by feeding our soul and giving life to our hearts through knowing God and remembering Allah and worshiping Allah. That is what is going to give us contentment. That is what is going to give us true happiness. That is what is going to give us true purpose. And that's the reality. The reality is, nothing is going to solve this problem except that we return to our true nature. And our true nature is to know Allah. That's the reality, brothers and sisters. Is it going to happen? No, almost definitely not. However, we should be optimistic. I say almost definitely. Why do I say almost definitely not? Because it never really happened before in history. Except the only people who accepted Islam when Allah sent a prophet to them was the people of Yunus. Yeah. They were the only people. They accepted Islam. And of course, the people to whom Allah sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that is also us. And maybe, inshallah, we can hope that there is something. If there is something that is going to make the blind see, if there's something that's going to make the deaf hear, it's going to be the Quran. And yeah, it is. You know, if there's anything that is going to move the hearts and the minds of people, it is the Book of Allah, which comes back to really something very important. What are we doing? You see, fundamentally, as Muslims, our responsibility has to be to share this message with humanity. If people really care about the planet and they really care about the future of their children and their children's children, they're going to have to look at this book, the Quran. And we're the ones who have it, and we're the ones who need to share it. Anyway, brothers and sisters, let's have a look at your comments. I was too busy, too much, totally immersed. What is the instant outage? I don't know. I have no idea. What Christian sect were you when you were a Christian? I was brought up a Roman Catholic, yeah, which is not really, I suppose it's a sect, like they're all, I suppose you could say they're all sects, but the Roman Catholic Church is the largest Christian denomination. So it is a sect from the point of view of, it's definitely not the original teachings of Isa alayhi salam. So yeah, I was a Roman Catholic. Love you, Sheikh. Love you too. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, lots of salams. Nature has a way to heal itself. Men are making money of false claims. Yeah, nature does have a way to heal itself. That is true. But you see, like I try to say to people, is that the way that planet is going to heal itself is by eliminating that which is causing the sickness, which is us. Yeah. So the point being is that, you know, that's the reality. It's us. So, you know, I know many Muslims say, oh, you know, this, all this talk about the environment. Yeah. Allah has set the balance. And this is Muslim. We believe Allah has set the balance. There is a balance of all things and everything will return to balance. And I say, yeah, I don't disagree. But that balance is going to be the horrific death and starvation of millions and millions of human beings. Now, is that what you want? I mean, it's extraordinary that, you know, subhanAllah, every Ramadan we get appeals and appeals for people who are starving and people who are dying of thirst, and build this well here and build this well there. We get out our wallets and we, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful thing. And we want to help all those people. And we should help them. Yet this impending, it's not even impending, it's happening right now as we speak. This crisis that is being caused by man-made climate change is unfolding right in front of us. And we're not doing anything about it. It's just madness. It doesn't make any sense at all, right? So if you care about human beings suffering or not suffering, and you, because that's the choice, either we find a way to fix ourselves or you're right. The balance that God has put in this universe will fix it. But that fixing it is going to mean that we are going to suffer en masse, right? We may slaughter ourselves or the planet may slaughter us. So the point being, is that what you want? So we have to find another way. Like, at least we should try. If you care about human beings and their suffering, hopefully you would not want human beings to suffer unnecessarily, right? So, yeah, we need to try and do something about it. I hope you get my point, right? Okay, guys, so I have some philosophical questions that cause some doubts, but I don't have someone to ask for explanations. Can you help me out? Well, I can tell you who can help you out, and that is Sapience Institute. If you go and Google Sapience Institute, they have something called Lighthouse Mentoring. That's Hamza Sortsis, Mohammed Hijab, Dr. Uthman Latif, and others. Literally, that is one of the reasons why Sapience Institute exists. If people have these doubts and these philosophical issues, then they will help you with those things. And they're much better equipped to do it than I am. So I suggest you get on with that. I watched a documentary on fishing using electric shock to kill the fish, which has long-term damage to the fish. So inhumane. Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it's humane or not, but I think the real problem is this industrial level of fishing, slaughtering animals, it's just not sustainable. It's not like people going out, you know, in their boats, local fishermen going out fishing what they can get locally. Like, you have these literally these massive ships that drag nets across the bottom of the ocean, devastating the ocean floor, where all the life, the corals and the seagrasses and all the sea creatures, they live and they breed, and it's all part of the ecosystem. And also, by the way, massive amounts of CO2 is stored in those places. It's being turned to desert, like something like 4 times the size of Brazil, the Amazon rainforest. No one knows. Watch that documentary, Seaspiracy. Yeah, and you'll see. I mean, it should be literally outright banned. You know, these big trawlers should be banned. The only people who should be allowed to fish are local fishermen, and there should be clear restrictions on that. But like I said, this is not the problem. We can put all of these, we can try, and we should. We have to do these things. We could put all of these restrictions in place. But the real problem is not that. The real problem is we have stomachs that are never satisfied. We eat too much, we drink too much, we spend too much, we consume too much. We have to think about living a different way. We have to think about being different in the way that we live, right? And by the way, it's only a very, very small percentage of human beings that are causing this problem. The most of the world's problems in terms of the environment and consumerism, even in terms, by the way, of wars and conflicts and famines, yeah, are caused by 18% of the world's population, a small number of human beings, right? I'm sorry to say, basically the West, the so-called first world, right? Yes, I really like your commentary regarding humanitarian issues. Do you see a future where we don't live in this capitalist hell? Yes, definitely. I do see a future, and I think it's inevitable. The system is... it's going to collapse. It's already collapsing. I mean, you know, there are many, many theories about what's really going on with this pandemic. Yeah. And I'm not saying that COVID is not real. I'm not saying that it's not real. And I'm not saying that people have not died of it. And, you know, what's the origin of it? That's a different question. Is it a man-made disease? That is a different question. But like many, many other things, like the whole issue of man-made climate change, unfortunately, there are people who have power and who have money who just can't resist using every opportunity to increase their power, to increase their control, to increase their profits, even at the expense of the lives of other human beings, right? Whether it is producing so-called cures for these diseases that may in fact themselves be more detrimental and more harmful than the actual disease, or at least would not pass any normal types of tests for those type of medications. And, you know, there are so many issues, right? We could discuss about it. You know, how about, there are issues about just how about we live more naturally? How about we live more healthily? How about we take the issue of exercise more seriously, that we make sure that we eat the right type of foods? This is the thing, is that we have so much knowledge about how we can protect ourselves as human beings and how we can make ourselves healthier in very, very natural ways that don't need any major medical interventions. And I'm not saying there is not a need for these things sometimes, right? But again, there's a lot of hyperbole. There's a lot of, it's the same thing. Using something that is clearly a problem, but using it for other issues. All this does is create more distrust. It creates more enmity. But at the end of the day, you know, like as Malcolm X would say, it's the chickens coming home to roost. And this is what we are finding. The chickens are coming home to roost. Unfortunately, the first world, in order to feed its insatiable appetite for consumerism, for its luxurious lifestyle, most of the rest of humanity is suffering because of that. Maybe not most, but lots of human beings have suffered. And it's just the way, it's the way God's created the universe. What comes around goes around. What you give out, you get back. And that's what it is. It's coming back. It's coming back home. So I do, you know, it's just inevitable. And it always, it's inevitable with any civilization. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, any civilization has its endpoint. They're all going to sooner or later implode on themselves. I just think, for example, even Islamic civilization, with Islamic civilization, it takes a bit longer because there are more barriers in the way. There are more checks and balances. It's more inherently natural and in tune with the human condition. But that's just the reality of power. That's just the reality of civilizations. When human beings get rich, they get complacent and they get greedy. And unfortunately, they end up destroying their environment and themselves. And this is just what's going to happen. It's inevitable. I've got a book coming, which hopefully I'll probably be commenting on this when I've read that book. And it's called The Death of the West, or The Death of Western Civilization. I'll talk about it. One of the things I want to do is do a series of, you know, talks going through some really interesting books that that I've read, and just talking about them. There's many, many of them. So I think that would be really interesting. Anyway, brothers and sisters, that's it from me tonight. Thank you for all your comments. Thank you for listening. If you found this interesting, stimulating, a point of conversation, do leave me a comment. I will respond, inshallah. I mean, here I've tried to respond to your comments live. If some of you are not watching this live, I will do my best, inshallah, to get back to you. And please share this video, and don't forget, inshallah, to, if you're not already subscribed, please do subscribe as well, and maybe join me on Instagram and Facebook, but especially I'd love to build up this YouTube channel, so the more you can do to help me do that, the better. Anyway, brothers and sisters, it's getting late. I'm going to have to pray with the boys, my kids, and may Allah bless you. And may Allah help us, and may Allah give us strength, and may Allah put us on the straight path, and may Allah protect us from the fitan, the trials and tests of this life and the next. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.